All right, we are back. Another Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan. And another loss.
Close loss.
This one hurt a little just because it's the Lions. You're like, come on. You don't want to lose to the Lions. But there were positives to take out of this game. Again, the unfortunate major negative right now is the defense is bad. Very bad, to the point where a 2+ touchdown lead isn't enough. And that's going to be something that we will luckily have the funds and the draft picks to fix in the offseason. But right now, we're just going to have to suffer through it and be excited to watch some of the other things that are happening. The game to me was just it was weird because I think I'm so used to watching a good defense. And even when we didn't have great defenses, we still had ones that were like able to hold their own. I think this is one of the worst third down defenses I've seen the Bears at least have in a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it quite a bit, but like the only time there's been a defense that's even been comparable to as bad as this for the freshman years, but with the exception of that, like the Bears defense has always been solid.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely a very new experience for all the Bears fans, but like the offense, it makes up for it a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, there are pieces even on the defense that I like. Justin Jones has been playing very well. He's a guy that we've mentioned now a few times, and another week he makes a play. Jack Sanborn seasons here, I guess. That was a definite positive. After losing Roquan, you definitely know there's going to be a little drop, but it almost didn't feel like that, at least in that one particular area. He had 2 sacks, I want to say 12 total tackles, an interception. Even though they called it back because illegal hands to the face or face mask, whatever they ended up calling, which is a bullcrap call. Another game where I don't know what the refs are like hating on the Bears this year, but we had nine or ten penalties and Lions had 1. Do not tell me that the Detroit Lions, who are one of the worst football teams in the league this year, only had 1 penalty.
I mean, they're clearly not like a more disciplined team.
No.
Like, don't get me wrong, I like Dan Campbell, but like I don't think he's instilled that much coaching into them at this point. There were so many calls that were just very like weak, I would say. Like there was a first call on the first drive that was the holding on Braxton Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And
terrible.
It was like, I mean, by the letter of the law, maybe you could say it was
a normal. There's a holding on every single play.
Within the confines of the NFL, there is a certain threshold you have to reach for holding. And I don't think you reach that same thing. And then there's another holding penalty later in the game. I don't remember the exact context of it. Byron Pringle was holding a guy kind of by his shoulder pads.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think he got really his hands on the outside. It didn't seem like
he
was
that one.
Grabbing on and stuff, and those are just 2 off the top of my head. So it was a tough game penalty-wise for the Bears, for sure.
It was, and like you said, they were very ticky-tacky ones, but those ticky-tacky ones weren't being called on the opposite side, and that's what gets frustrating. If you're going to call those penalties and you're going to say, hey, today's going to be the day we're going to call these holdings that happen pretty much every single down in NFL football, then you need to do it on both sides. And we're also at home. Like that was usually that happens when you're on the road somewhere else, but whatever. It's one of those things also where you're like, at some point, like good football teams at the end of the day are not complaining about the refs usually. And we're not a very great football team as in well-rounded and everything figured out. So those calls stand out even more to us because those calls change games because we don't have a lot of game-changing moments outside of a few pieces. But again, I think that Jaquan has been continuously playing well. He retweeted a statistic about himself, and it was the most confidence I think I've seen out of any secondary player in a long time. I don't remember exactly what he said, like something about sipping the tea.
He pretty much just had someone, one of the big sports accounts, like compiled all of his numbers to show how good he's been, and he pretty much is like, yeah, like you guys all messed up for passing on me. I'm that dude. Essentially, is what he was saying.
And then because it said his total allowed yards, which it was like 195 or something, and he was like, and that's a stretch.
I don't know about that one.
I love it. I love Jaquan. Kyler's been increasingly playing better. The problem we had last week too, Kendall Vildor was out, and Lamar Jackson was playing, and that was not pretty.
Not the Lamar Jackson you wanted to be, unfortunately.
Yeah. Immediately, like we were sitting there watching it at the Bears watch party, and one of the guys was like, "Oh God, who's that?" And I was like, Lamar Jackson. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And people Like, I saw a few people when I retweeted the injury report from last week, and I was like, not good. Like, no Tevin, that's not good. No Kendall, that's not good. And someone was like, Kendall sucks. I was like, Kendall has not sucked. Like, I promise you, Kendall's been playing solid football.
Good almost, I'd say.
And you could tell last week that Kendall Vildor was not playing. So I think that there's pieces that you can take out of in a positive light. I think that the offensive line honestly looked decent last week, and this is without Tevin Jenkins, who is probably our best offensive lineman at this point. But Michael Schofield, they had at that right guard position, and I think other than maybe a few, I'm not an offensive line guru, so I'm not sitting there staring at the O-line and who did what, but from what I could tell, Justin had a decent amount of time to throw, especially in those first three quarters. There is pressure on him, but we're expecting that at this point. We just are happy when it's not 5, 6, 7 sacks.
And like the way he was able to elude guys, like I think he definitely also made it look like things were better for sure. Like we had a couple plays where like,
and that's what Justin does.
Yeah, he just made five guys miss, and he's like, oh wow, like. But
there were definitely a few moments also where he was standing back there for a good 3, 4, 5 seconds, and I thought like out loud, wow.
I mean, like, that Cole Kmet touchdown, like I remember him having it a lot of times. Yeah. So.
And then he goes to throw, and I was like, oh God. And then I was like, oh, Cole Kmet's wide open.
Wide open.
which we don't see that often in Chicago, and we haven't in a while. So that was fun. But that brings us to this, Dylan, and we've been waiting for this week. And here
special
we
week.
Are after 10 weeks. We get to talk about QB1. Justin Fields.
Like we haven't talked about him at all before.
Yeah, his name hasn't been mentioned at all this year. No, but this is our first time we really get to say this episode's about Justin Fields, and I'm so excited because all we talked about all offseason was this season is about Justin Fields. This season is about how he develops, the progress he makes. There was a little bit of chatter of like, what week do we start talking about drafting a quarterback if Justin's not doing what we need? We don't have to think about that anymore.
Not even the smallest thought in my mind.
No, we do not have to think about that, and it's so exciting. So we're going to chat some Justin Fields today. We had his coach from high school, Coach Matt Dickman. It was his head coach at Harrison High in Georgia, and he's going to join us on this podcast today, and he's great. He loves talking about Justin Fields, and you can tell, which I get it. I love talking about Justin Fields, and I don't know Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I didn't coach Justin Fields, so I get it. He's watched this kid from his sophomore year just develop and progress and turn into this NFL quarterback that now people are talking about nationally as being a top 10 quarterback, potentially an MVP candidate, potentially Dan Orlovsky.
That was a little much, I'll say.
Now other people are saying it, though. I've seen more people mentioning it. And the problem is the Bears aren't winning. Yeah, if the Bears were winning, you could say hands down, yes. Yeah, like, why wouldn't you?
It kind of really depends on how you define the MVP. Like, the player who means the most to their team, sure.
Yeah.
You definitely have a very good argument for that. But I think the NFL voters, I've established that there's a lot more to that goes into just that. Like, you have to have team success. So, like,
yeah. See, yeah, and that's never road, made maybe, sense to me. I always think, like, a most valuable player, that's what it's about. Not, like, a most valuable player directly correlating
team.
To whatever. Like, to me, a most valuable player is someone like Justin Fields who has literally put this team on his back. And although wins aren't coming out at the other side, what's happening is you're seeing a team score 30 plus and a 29 in four or 5 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing, if it wasn't for the defense allowing 38 points on average, they would be dominating these wins. And what I think of when you look at an MVP, to me, if you take that player off of the team, what does that team look like?
Well, this team would look terrible.
That's an MVP.
Yeah.
If you took Josh Allen out of the Bills, would they be what the Buffalo Bills are right now? Definitely not. Would they still be able to win some games? I think so.
I mean, they could seem like a play. Like, if you're saying
he was hurt last week, and we just saw them blow a lead to the Vikings. So maybe that is questionable, but you take Aaron Rodgers, the last 2 years has won MVP. If you took Aaron Rodgers out of the Packers would not be the Packers. And So I think to me, that's always been the main focal point, but I get it. They want to talk, they want it to revolve to directly correlate to wins. So
it's also,
that's where we're at.
It's also a season long award,
yeah.
Not just the last month.
Yeah.
To play a little bit of devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But again, Justin has been playing to an MVP level, and like once we get him some actual people to throw to,
yeah,
maybe he'll actually win it.
Yeah. We'll be talking about it hopefully in a year or two. But let's just go over a little bit of. So Justin Fields grew up in North Georgia, about 25 minutes away from where Trevor Lawrence grew up.
Crazy.
Very crazy. So
there's 360 million people in America, and two of the best quarterbacks, no, the two best quarterbacks at their age happen to be born in the same state 25 minutes away. What
yeah,
are the odds?
It's insane. I think that Trevor actually was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, but uh-huh. he like grew up in North Georgia. But it's really wild. So he obviously, since sixth grade, that's as far back as I like could track his football. But he worked under a private QB coach, which I'm slipping on the name right now. I'll figure that out in a second.
It is crazy. 12 years old to have your quarterback coach.
At 12 in sixth grade. So obviously there was something there that was like...
Early.
Yeah. Like this kid's athletic. This kid's fast. This kid loves football. Like there was probably a combination of things.
Probably the parents also definitely, I think, were pushing that too.
Yeah. Which when we talked to Coach Matt Dickman, he mentions Justin's dad a lot being a big part of the way Justin's life has gone, his mm-hmm. career has gone, everything in general. So Justin Fields originally committed to Penn State. Not officially committed. I want to say it was like a verbal commit. Like he said, yes, I'm going to go to Penn State. And from what I've read, it was like a really stressful time for Justin Fields because he didn't want to like hurt people's feelings and like tell schools no. And so it was like a very overwhelming time. And there was a lot of schools coming after him, obviously. He went to the Elite 11. He won MVP at the Elite 11 against Trevor Lawrence. And he won the Mr. Georgia football, which we have like Florida, Mr. Florida or whatever. And so Georgia has that same thing, like the best football player in the state. And Justin Fields won that. So it's just been like success since pretty much he started
forever
playing football.
As long as I've heard of Justin Fields, he's been associated with winning football.
Yeah. So he decommitted to Penn State and committed to Kirby Smart in Georgia, despite them having Jake Fromm, who just took them to a national championship. So a lot of people questioned that because they were like, why are you committing to Georgia when they already have their quarterback? To me, that's Justin Fields' competitiveness, maybe. Like, maybe in his head, he was like, number one, it's my state school. Like, it's Georgia. We heard when we were talking to... Who was it when they committed to, they were talking about, they committed and he pulled out the other glove and it wasn't Bulldogs colors. And
oh,
he was,
I know. It was, oh,
I'm blanking
I know what
on
you're
it.
Talking about. It's killing me that I can't remember this right now. It wasn't Cole Kmet. It was, I think it was whoever we did the episode before that.
Dang it.
It's killing me.
I can't
think
of it. Larry Borum?
Was it Jaquan?
No, it was somebody who was like, they were fumbling through his bag because he was trying to pull out the... I know.
There are definitely someone listening to this that remembers it and is like screaming like, oh, it's this one.
It'll come to me.
Yeah,
but
anyways.
It was like, it's like that situation. So when Georgia
I think
is like.
Larry Borum, honestly.
Huh?
I think it was Larry Borum, but it doesn't matter. Continue.
Yeah, it was thick and thin. Georgia loves their Bulldogs. And so I'm sure there's a billion kids in that school and surrounding him that were like, you need to go to Georgia. You need to go to be, you need to be a Bulldog. And when we talked about Coach Matt Dickman, real quick, his private QB coach was Ron Veal, a former quarterback in the NFL or a former player in the NFL, but he also runs a QB camp. But so he pretty much was like, probably in my head, Matt Dickman says he's a very competitive person. So in my head, this competitive person said, I can go to Georgia, be in the state where I grew up, go to an SEC school, work under Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart's great. So I completely get wanting to commit to Kirby Smart and win that job. Well, he got there and he didn't. Jake Fromm played that entire season of 2018. And there's rumors that other things happened. I don't know the validity of this, but there were rumors that there was like racial slurs yelled at Justin. The story I read was that he, I guess during a football game or something football related, I'm guessing it was at a game because someone yelled for them to bench Jake Fromm. They were playing Tennessee. Jake Fromm wasn't playing well. And someone said, put the word we do not say in. And that kid also happened to play on the baseball team, which Justin Fields was on the baseball team. So the story is that there was just obviously some uncomfortableness, and Justin went to the NCAA and he filed for a hardship waiver. Yeah. He was granted the hardship waiver, and that's a process. Like, and that's what last week when we were talking, I was like, I can't really quite remember how it happened, because it's not easy to just get to transfer. Like, that's a more recent thing.
It's not like it was these days, for sure.
Yeah. And so I was a little confused on that, but that's what it was. Is he applied for that. He immediately enrolled at Ohio State. He took part in winter conditioning drills. But Ryan Day, who was a large part of why Justin decided to go to Ohio State, Justin said he loved Ryan Day. Ryan Day was in large part the reason that he chose to go to that place. In addition to, they just lost. Dwayne Haskins had just went into the NFL. Did he go there or did he transfer?
No, yeah, Haskins.
Because Joe Burrow left to LSU.
Yes, when Haskins was the NFL, and then it went Justin Fields, and now they have Stroud.
So they had just lost Dwayne Haskins, and so now Justin Fields finds a spot that needs a quarterback and has a coach like Ryan Day who believes in him. But Ryan Day at first was kind of like, he's not our starting quarterback. We don't know yet. Like, we're just going to kind of figure it out. Justin kind of recalls originally when he was recruiting and Ohio State, they talked a little bit, but he said at the time they had already a QB commit to Ohio State. So Ryan Day wasn't really like pushing it super hard. And Justin, so there wasn't much conversation at all until all of this stuff came up on Georgia. But anyways, so it's a cool story. It's a story of Justin. You can say that competitive nature of Justin. Some people said he kind of copped out because he didn't want to have to compete with Jake Fromm. But in my eyes, you only have a limited time in college. And if you are not, Kirby Smart clearly made it known that Jake Fromm was going to be starting, and Justin Fields did not have a spot on the starting roster.
Yeah, I think it's pretty, I think saying that like he ran away from Georgia to like go someplace where he had a free starting job isn't necessarily the correct narrative to put out there. I was actually doing a little bit of research for the interview we were doing earlier, and I had forgotten that. So do you know who Tate Martell is?
I don't know.
So he was a big quarterback prospect that also happened to go on the same show, QB1, that Justin was on.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been one of the guys I was referring to later in the interview, but you guys will see what I'm talking about later. But he originally committed to A&M, decommitted, and then they went to Ohio State. And he was like a top quarterback prospect. And initially, when Justin was transferring there, he was viewed as like, all right, like Dwayne Haskins on the way out. We got this guy Martell on the bench. Like, we'll see if he can take over for Haskins. And Justin's announced he's going to transfer there. And Martell immediately is like, this guy can't handle me. Like, I don't know why he's coming here. Like, this is already my job. Like, I'm not afraid of him. And then a week later, he transfers to Miami.
That's weak sauce.
Yeah. And like, it's just like, he's not running away from competition. He's very clearly going towards one. And with Georgia, it was such a hard situation because, like, at the end of the day, it's not an easy thing to do to bench a quarterback that takes you to the national championship game, especially in college football. And when you only got a guy for 4 years and you're like, well, like, he took us this far, like, maybe he can get us again and like the rest of our squad can get us over the hump. And in hindsight, huge mistake.
Yeah.
But in the moment, it was a little bit understandable why they were doing it. Personally, I thought it was dumb. I thought Fields was very good
from
what I had seen of him, but he went to Ohio State and the rest is history. So
yeah, and honestly, I think it probably was the best choice for Justin Fields. You can't deny, like, yes, Georgia has talent. We see Georgia players in pretty much every NFL game we see, but we also see Ohio State players in every NFL game we watch because there's loads of talent at Ohio State. Again, I love Kirby Smart, but I also really do love Ryan Day. I think he's been a great coach, and every player that I've ever heard from at all during the Big Ten media days and any player that ends up going to the NFL always have good things.
Ryan Day is more of an offense guy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that also is a big thing. Like, Kirby, like, say what you want about him. He's a great coach, but like, he's a safety.
That's why Georgia's defense is what they are.
Georgia is defense. Yeah. And there's like Stenson Bennett, for example, he's having a good year, but I don't think that there's ever going to be a quarterback that's going to explode in Georgia's system. Like, you've seen a guy like Justin explode in Ohio's system because I just think they're more of like, we're going to play defense and we're going to run the ball. And yeah. that's something that Georgia's produced is defenders and running backs. So
yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think there's just, there's a lot of things that point to Justin Fields. There's a lot of things that like point to Justin Fields ending up in Chicago. And we are thankful. We are so thankful, because who knows if he stayed in Georgia, what would have happened after that? If he would have only sat behind Jake Fromm and never really had a true chance, or maybe had, he did play a few games because Georgia would be winning and by so much in some games that Justin would get thrown in.
I think he actually got in like the last game of the year and he had like 300 yards or something. He played really well.
Yeah,
too.
I looked at his numbers and he has statistics, so they're there, like he was playing at Georgia, but it was definitely one of the situations where it was either they were behind by a lot and they'd put him in, or it was like the end of the season type of thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, from that to just, so that could have definitely changed the trajectory of where Justin Fields went. Obviously, that season for the Bears was so weird because the Bears started 5-1. The season they drafted Justin Fields.
What?
Yeah.
I can't even believe that.
Went to the playoffs, started 5-1,
yeah.
finished the season 500, went to the playoffs, got smoked that right away, signed Andy Dalton,
QB1.
And then less than a month later, they're drafting their franchise quarterback, and they're trading up to draft their franchise quarterback because the Jets passed on him, because the Niners passed on him, because Denver passed on him, because the New York Giants believe in Daniel Jones and said, here, take Justin Fields.
Yeah, and like the crazy thing, like before we get to the interview really quick, like I would say when the Bears signed Andy Dalton and were like, this is our quarterback one, our starting quarterback
for the
season.
Yeah, they literally
said
QB one.
When
like,
they said like,
joke.
This is our starter for the year, I was like, this is, I think, the most, what's the word? I can't think of the correct word. But like, I was so unconcerned with the Bears. I was so in despair with the Bears. I was like, this
You're
might
like
be
apathetic.
Apathetic.
That
mm-hmm. That's, I think, a perfect word. I was like, I was just so like the lowest I had been,
because
I was just like, we've got this old aging defense that's worth so much money and this terrible quarterback we just signed with an offense that can't score and a head coach that has no idea what he's doing and a front office that has no idea what they're doing either. And it seems like nothing's going to change. And I was just in despair.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, something that happens that changes it completely around for me. And I've felt so much more excited since the day we drafted Justin. And arguably, I don't think I've felt that excited about any players the Bears have ever had.
Yeah.
And like, for me personally, like how much I like enjoy rooting for Justin Fields, I think it's only comparable for one person for me, and that's Derrick Rose. He's my sports idol. So like the idea that like someone I saw when I was, for the first time when I was 11 or 12, when I first fell in love with Derek, and now I'm 25, and like I'm feeling the same way
that's
about
a
guy.
Gap of
that's 2 years younger than me, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's just, I love him, and it's so much fun that he's our quarterback.
It is, and I'll tell, like, just on that subject, because I host a show called Helmets and Heels, and on Helmets and Heels, the night, so I kind of jokingly had been posting that week because there was somebody else available, like another very mediocre quarterback was available around that time. I can't think of who it was right now, but I like jokingly was like, the Bears are going to sign this guy and I'm going to be so angry, like another mediocre guy that like I do not want. And I can't remember who it was, dang it. But, then literally the day we had Helmets and Heels show, they signed Andy Dalton. So we had a show that night, and as I'm they were all like, Taylor, like what is going on? And I said this on Heels, I've posted it on Twitter before, but I was like, they're not done. Like, they're not this stupid. They're going to draft a quarterback. I really believe that. And I was like, as much as I criticize Ryan Pace in certain aspects, like, he's not this dumb to do nothing. And so I said, I believe that in the draft, something's going to happen. Whether I love that move, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be yet, because I truly thought Justin was going to go higher than what he went.
I thought he was going to go, like, top 5.
I didn't think that. I was honestly thinking Mac Jones, like, they were going to try to something like that. There was somebody that went a little later that Kyle Trask, maybe. Did he go that year?
He was like early second round.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe someone like that. I was like, I just don't think this is the final QB move.
The Texans quarterback, Davis Mills, he was like a big guy,
yes,
like mid third round.
So I was just thinking more of something like that, but I truly didn't think that Andy Dalton was like the last move. But anyways, we're going to get to the interview with Coach Mac Dickman out of Harrison High. But I do want to really quick just go over the numbers for Justin Fields, because this is why we chose him. So despite the loss, Justin Fields against the Lions, 167 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 147 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. I mean, the numbers explain themselves. And I think that the one thing that really stands out, and this is why I thought it was time to really talk about him, were two things. Number one, the comparison between week one through four. So Justin Fields' first four games, he was 34 of 67, 471 yards, two touchdowns, four interceptions, 58.7 passer rating. The last six games, Justin Fields is 88 of 141, 1,018 yards, 10 touchdowns, three interceptions, 99.6 passer rating. But people still want to tell me he hasn't improved, he hasn't evolved, he can't throw, he's whatever. All of these trash things, and people who want to say they can't throw. Let's also talk about where Justin Fields ranks among players since week eight. Rushing touchdowns, he's had four, tied for first. Rushing yards, 385, second. Passing touchdowns, seven, second in the NFL. Passer rating, 108.9, fourth in the NFL. So for people who want to tell me that Justin Fields cannot throw the ball, or he's not accurate, or he's a running back, that we can give you all of these
haters.
Numbers.
That's all they are. They're haters.
I just don't understand, and I went on this rant last week, how you can logically expect a quarterback to rush for 150 yards and then also pass for 300. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, he's hitting 300 total yards, 300-plus total yards, and that's what any quarterback's doing right now in the NFL is around that number. We just have a line that cannot pass block, so we run the ball.
And we also don't have receivers that aren't that good at catching either. So.
Yeah. We have, I think we only have 11 drops, and the most in the league right now is the Patriots with the Bucks. I don't know. I get lost because Tom Brady's was on both. But whoever the leader is has 23. But the difference is they have over double the amount of attempts.
Yeah.
So it ends up being to where if you statistically average those, adjusted everything to the attempts and everything, that the Bears would be in the top three of drop passes comparably.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get to this interview. It was really fun to do. Again, Matt Dickman, he's now the head strength coach for Harrison High, but he was the head coach for Harrison High when Justin Fields played quarterback there. All right, now we are joined by Coach Matt Dickman. He is the head strength coach at Harrison High, but was Justin Fields' head coach when
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
He played at Harrison High his junior and senior year. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. We're super excited to get to dive into Justin Fields this week because he is just so much fun. And it's by the week, it's getting more fun to watch him. But I want to take you back just a minute to April 29th, 2021, Coach. And when Justin Fields was drafted by the Chicago Bears, the Bears didn't have much hope that season. They had just given a bunch of money to Andy Dalton. We had we were the 20th pick in the NFL and just didn't think much was going to come out of it. And I always do a draft party every year. And so I had a bunch of friends over at my house, and we work in Jacksonville. I don't know if you know that, but Dylan and I both work for 1010XL. So we're the flagship of the Jaguars. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, we knew was going to the Jaguars. So it was exciting in that factor, which we'll get to Trevor a little bit later, too, because I want to talk about that comparison. But when I walk to the kitchen to make a new drink, all my friends say, Taylor, they just traded up. The Bears traded up. Yep. So I run out to the living room, and I just immediately start saying, please say it's Justin Fields and not Mac Jones. Please say it's Justin Fields and not Mac Jones. And when that name came up on the screen, I was just absolutely ecstatic. Can you take me back to that day for you?
Yeah, I knew when they traded up. I said right away, I said, someone's going to trade up for him. I said, he shouldn't be left. And I said, these other people, I think they're going to regret this down the road. And the minute the Bears did that, I said, they're going to take Justin. I just had the feeling that they were going to. So I was excited for him because I could tell, you know, watching it, that he was definitely frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
He won't tell anybody that. He won't show that. But I could just tell knowing him. So very happy for him that happened. But, yeah, that was exciting to the minute they did that, I knew that they couldn't probably believe he was still there.
Oh, yeah.
He said, hey, we got to get this guy.
Yeah, we were very thankful. And still to this day, I thank the Jets. I thank the 49ers. There's a lot of people, I think, in that aspect. But let's go back to his time in high school for a little bit. So he took over that starting role at Harrison High his junior year. Statistics show already, Coach, that he was pretty incredible that junior year. When you look at it, the amount of just rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, passing yards, passing touchdowns. It was just, honestly, it's amazing to look at. As I was reading those numbers yesterday, I was just amazed. But tell us a little bit about where Justin was at the time, at the start of that junior season, and athleticism and skill set.
Well, he actually started as a 10th grader, and he broke his finger the 8th game of the year, I believe it was, 7th or 8th. I can't remember for sure. But he was just starting to get comfortable in the offense, and we were starting to put more stuff in. I remember the first time we ran power read, he went 60 yards house, and he was just starting to get comfortable, and we were starting to expand, and he broke the tip of his finger, and we lost him for those last two or three games. So I think it might have been the last three games. So that was kind of, disappointing. But in the off season, what we did is, and I had never done this, we implemented the RPO system, the run pass. So just about every play, he had the option to throw the ball on an RPO, to hand it off or run it. And we did that because I just knew his skill set. Plus, we had a good group of guys around him that we could do all this with. So some people say, well, you were kind of taking a chance, weren't you? I said, no, because I knew that, I think at that time that might have been my 34th or 30th year of coaching, 32nd, I don't even remember. But at that point in time, I knew that, he was special and he was going to be able to do all this. So we introduced it in the spring, and he just took off with it and just made good decisions. I mean, the one thing I don't think a lot of people understand is how, articulate and intelligent he is, and that with working with high school students, you have to rep stuff a lot. You have to go over it and over it. Not with him. You pretty much could talk about it, do it, and he must have one heck of a memory because, we never really had to talk to him about, no, this is wrong. He just, would take off with it. So it was great. It was a lot of fun just to watch him and what we could do with the offense. His junior year,
So, Coach, something I was wondering is, in the time I've been able to watch Justin, you could see he really has a lot of poise in being able to handle. Like, he's a star, and he just kind of seems really comfortable in those big situations. Something I don't think a lot of people know is he actually was on a TV show in high school. Following him throughout his senior year of high school and the whole recruiting process and all of that. What was that like for you, the program, and Justin?
Well, I was a little nervous about this TV show thing because I'm not a rah-rah guy. I'm very quiet. It's about the team. It's about that's just the way I kind of am. It's about the uniform all looking the same. And I kind of watched a little bit of it because I never watched it, and I just didn't like the way some of the coaches acted on it. And not, I'm really strict with our coaches too about our language and our players. And I just saw it and I was like, wow, are these people going to come out and try to look for every wrong thing instead of right thing in your program? But Justin wanted to do it. And I said, okay. I said, I'm going to send it to the county. The county approved it, which I didn't know if they would or not, because they're going to be coming into your classroom and everything. But they did. So the county must have, been excited for us to do this. But it was a great experience. I'm glad we did it because the guys that did it came in and said, listen, we're not going to, if the kids are acting up, we'll walk out of the room. And so they did a great job of, and I felt comfortable with our coaches. I just didn't want them to say, oh, I got you doing one thing wrong. Because again, our coaches are great men, and, we don't use foul language, which I saw a lot of that on the other QB ones, which I don't understand. Justin did a great job too, just because his father and him through the recruiting process. And, Justin's very competitive. He's very driven. And I was glad to just see the way he handled it. But, it turned out it was great. We had a lot of fun with it. And the kids kind of just ignored the guys once you know, they were there, and it was a great experience. It really was.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it'd be like being, you know, 17, 18 years old, being on a television show. I know it wasn't like a huge TV show or anything, but like the idea of like me being on a TV show is still something crazy. So the fact that he could handle that in the first place, very impressive and all.
Yeah.
Going through that whole recruiting process.
And I will say this. I give a lot of credit to his dad. His dad's a great man. And he was a police officer, military man. And they just did it the right way. With the recruiting process, it was awesome. His dad said to me, okay, we're starting the season. There won't be any interviews about college. It'll all be about Harrison High School and his senior year. So that really took a lot, because there's people calling all the time wanting to interview and talk about college. And his dad said, nope, if it doesn't have anything to do with Harrison High football, we're not going to do it. So, you know, I credit his dad tremendously for keeping things in perspective for Justin, who did a great job. But if you would write a book on the right way to handle recruiting and do it, Justin and his dad definitely did that. Justin was, everybody admired him for the way he handled himself, which is another credit to his family and his dad. But he was always, you know, he handled himself well when he met with the coaches, and they were just, were always like the way he, you know, his personality and the way he greeted and talked to him. So the recruiting process was good. It was great for me once they could talk to him and call him and not call me anymore.
Yeah.
I'd be out on a Saturday just trying to mow the yard and my phone is blowing up, you know, like, hey, can you have Justin do this or that? Or if some of the coaches had to say, listen, you know, he's going to make up his mind. I don't have anything to do with this. I'm just here to advise and give support. So, but the recruiting process was a little crazy, but once they could call him, I know it was tiring on him because we would talk. And he would go, sometimes, coach, I don't answer. I let my phone. I said, I don't blame you. I said, just tell him, though, you've narrowed it down to 5 schools and you're not one of them. You got to be polite and let them know so you can live your life and move on. But, yeah, we had one day in here like 15 to 17 coaches come in. So for me, you know, it was hard for me to do my job, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I imagine it goes on with the big time programs all the time, but the recruiting process, they handled it well. It was a great experience.
It's like those people, the car warranty people that are calling, like, do you have a second to talk about your car warranty?
Yeah, I think Justin's very much a Ferrari in the situation for making that comparison.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it's very obvious, and we're just seeing Justin that he's a very well raised and a very, you know, just a good guy. Something else I think I've noticed is like, there have been some other quarterbacks in that QB1 show that I think they let the fan go to their head a little bit. There's one guy in particular I'm thinking about. I don't have to say his name. But how do you think Justin was able to handle being a star at such a young age and being able to, like, you know, like, not be like, I'm the guy, rather than just being, I'm one of the guys, you know, part of the team?
Yeah, I think, again, a lot of it has to do with his dad and his dad's background with military and being a police officer. And also his faith, you know, his family and his dad. He was raised, you know, Christian young man, and he wears his faith on his sleeve. So, you know, it's great to see young men like that today with the way the world is, and they're being tugged and pulled and social media, you know. So it's just something, that's why I always like to do, if someone asks me to do an interview about Justin, I'm always wanting to and willing to, just to talk about how well the process went, the way he carried himself in high school. We just need more young men to do that. And he was a great role model for that, you know. But I think, you know, just the way it was handled, it again, has to go with his upbringing and his faith and his dad's background of discipline, you know.
Yeah, I agree that seeing young men be able to go through all of this, it's a lot, and especially when you are being pulled and tugged in a lot of ways, and you're also just trying to be a high school student, which is hard enough on its own. But I want to talk a little bit about more of that junior and senior year. I know there is probably a million moments that you could point to, because I can tell you that in just the 20 starts that I've watched Justin Fields, I've had several moments where my jaw was on the floor watching him escape pressure or any many of times that he's been able to do this, and this is just in a short period of time. So I want to know if there's a particular moment or game that really stands out to you where when you were watching, you're like, this kid is going to be something.
Well, I kind of just noticed that with, you know, you watch his highlights from his middle school program, his dad sent to me, and you can look and say at that point in time that this young man has potential. But a lot happens from that time into high school. How much will that person grow? Because whether people like it or not, an athlete has a lot to do with his God-given ability. And then how hard he's going to work. And Justin did both of those. You know, he continued to grow and he continued to work. But at an early age, you could just see, and as a freshman, you know, being able to work with them in the spring and then watch all his games, you really saw that you were going to have a young man that could threaten it down the field with throwing it, be accurate, and could run. I mean, when you have a quarterback in high school that can and is bright, when you have those things, you know, you can really do a lot, and you can be very successful as a program. Of course, you better hope you have a few people around him. They don't have to be great. They just got to be good players. But, you know, we saw that in middle school with the highlight tape, because I think I had just gotten here. And then I saw that in ninth grade. And then we saw as a 10th grader, you know, always had to say, hey, you know, there's going to be times you're going to struggle. I remember one time telling him, listen, I'm going to have you do two reads when we throw the ball. After two reads, you pull the ball down and run it, because at this point in the season, you've always gotten 8+ yards. But I think, you know, just seeing him and seeing how we could continue to grow and do things, and especially his junior year, just how well the RPOs were going and the decisions he was making. I knew that. I said, this kid is going to be a superstar in college, and he's going to go to the next level. You know, I just knew it because of I'm in my 30th some year of coaching, and I'm coaching him, and I've never had anyone that dynamic at that position. I mean, I've had kids that were good at throwing the ball, but they didn't have all the other, they couldn't check all the other boxes. I've had kids that were very good at running the ball, but they weren't accurate and couldn't throw the ball. He just was a complete package, you know? So there was just moments of just seeing how well he could do stuff. You're like, wow, you're going to be able to do a lot with this young man. And especially with the people around that we had with him, there was a game. I think it was either his junior year. Is it junior or senior year? Senior year. He made six guys miss. It was a pass play, and he reverse pivoted. He ran around a few times in the backfield and ran for like 6 yards and made six guys miss. And, you know, we were joking on the sideline. Yep, just how we drew it up.
But you Justin.
Know, yes.
You could see just, you know, just like when he did it in the Bears game the other day. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I've been watching that since he was in high school.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. You know, what kind of surprises me is that people don't understand that if his talent level and skill level is off the charts, and if you use him the right way, you know, he's going to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems is right now, and nothing against the guys on the team, but I know that there's not as many superstars playing around him as there are other quarterbacks. Well, think about Ohio State. Here's a kid that was an unbelievable 5-star athlete who I knew right away was going to flourish because at Ohio State, you're going to get the best people around you, you know, because of recruiting and not drafting. And I mean, I knew, and people were like, how do you think he's going to do? I said, he's going to do just fine. I go, Ryan Day's a mastermind on offense and throwing the ball. And I go, he's skill levels off the chart. And I watched those college football shows and they'd say, oh, he's going to struggle. And I just kind of laughed. You know, and that's the same thing in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about, it doesn't matter how great you are. It's about your supporting cast. And right now, you know, I just like the things they're doing with him. The same stuff we did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I yell at him when he's running to get freaking out of bounds and down, you know.
So. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But all that doesn't, you know, surprise me at all. And we've seen it since high school. We've known since high school that he was an unbelievable player and kid, and we knew that if he was going to stay healthy, I always said, then he's going to be fine.
Yes. So. Well, and that's what you mentioned earlier about his ability to throw the ball and run. And you see quarterbacks that can do one or the other, but not necessarily always both of those things. But we are in a point where the NFL, we're seeing a lot of quarterbacks who that mobility factor is just taking them to that next level. And we hear constantly how hard it is for a defense to cover, to figure out Justin Fields, because the moment you think you have him down, you don't. There's Jalen Hurts is playing incredible this year. Guys like Lamar Jackson, obviously, they all have that ability to kind of do both things. Recently, obviously, there's no denying, because he's pretty a lead rusher in the NFL. A lot of people have been criticizing, though, that the fact of his throwing ability, his accuracy. I think he's capable of it because I've seen glimpses of it. I think that the Bears' talent around him in that aspect may be kind of mediocre at best, so that's not really helping things. But what do you say to those people who have the criticisms that say Justin Fields can't throw the ball?
It makes me laugh because, you know, I've seen it firsthand. And, you know, first it was, well, he can't go through his progression. I have high school clips of his senior and junior year, him going through 3 and 4 progressions. Because, first of all, he had time to throw the ball, okay? But he can go through 4 progressions, and he can pull it down and run. So I laughed at that. I mean, I have cut-ups of him going through his progressions. And then in college, it was the same thing. He went through his progressions. And, you know, I just think when you get to the NFL, you are as good as your supporting cast. And, again, I'm not knocking those guys. There's some really good football players. They're playing in the NFL, you know, on the Chicago Bears and other teams. But the better your supporting cast is and the healthier your supporting cast is, the better your accuracy is going to be. The more time you're going to have to throw the ball. You've seen that with Aaron Rodgers when the O-line breaks down. You've seen that with Tom Brady until maybe they get back under their feet and things get better, or they get people back that are healthy. There's a lot of factors that go into that. But, you know, Justin in high school was near 70% completion. I believe in college he was at 70-some, I'm pretty sure. I don't have any stats in front of me. And, you know, again, in the NFL, when you move him out of the pocket and give him those crossing routes or deep corner routes, he's a master at throwing the deep corner route. I'd like to see more of those. Mm-hmm. But you see that he's done well. He's moved in the pocket, set his feet, and still hit someone in the middle of the field. I just think as they start to mesh together and that O-line gets more experience, I think his completion, you know, rating will go up and you keep everybody healthy. But he can throw the ball as accurate as anybody I've ever seen that I've coached. And he's got an unbelievable strong arm, which I think that at times he has not, you know, had the chance to use this year because of the pressure in the pocket and things like that. But I think as the Bears continue to grow together as a team, and I know they have a lot of cap money to spend next year, I think you're just going to see him get better and better. You know, the thing about him is, yes, he can run the ball. So when things do break down, that's one of the traits he has that a lot of people don't. And you might as well use it because that's what makes you special and your skill level better than most people that can only sit in the pocket.
Well, I love to hear that. That's for sure. And honestly, to all the people that are out there saying congrats on finding a running back, shut up. He's a quarterback. He's awesome. He's going to be great. Anyway.
You know, as a coach, you're always going to get those people.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
To me, they always make themselves sound ignorant when they make a comment about a young man that is that blessed, which has proven it in high school which he was surrounded by good players. We didn't have 5 and 4-star athletes. Trevor Lawrence had more, you know, of those on his team in high school than Justin did. And then he got to high school and he did have, or college, and he did have those guys. And you saw how well he flourished throwing the ball there. So I think more than anything, it's what he uses to be successful in a game. He would rather sit back there and throw the ball and never run. That is his mentality. But when it breaks down, he's going to run the ball. So, you know, it's just a lot of people being jealous that they don't have the same ability that he does.
Well, that's something that's very great to hear. So something you kind of mentioned there, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence and Justin grew up pretty much right by each other, where it sounds like, most of their lives. What was their relationship like, if you knew of it? And how did Justin handle having such a stud quarterback only miles away from him when he's also such a stud quarterback himself?
I think more than anything, Justin's just competitive, and that showed in the Elite 11 when they went against each other. But
MVP, though, really MVP.
We never really talked a lot about it, but I always knew that, you know, if there's somebody in his neighborhood or in his area, he's going to prove that he's better than them. That's his drive. That's what he does. It's the same reason why he went to Georgia. He wasn't afraid to compete. I just don't feel he was given the opportunity, and that's why he ended up at Ohio State, which was fine with me because I'm a Buckeye anyway. So, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of talk about it, but I know that when he got the opportunity to go to the Elite 11 and compete, that he was going to show them who the best quarterback was.
That's awesome.
Which he did.
And but he's just not a lot of talk. He's more about, I'm going to go do this. And he's not going to say a lot about it.
Yeah.
That's just the way he is.
Which, and I love Justin Fields in many aspects, but that I do love. Some people want that guy that's going to trash talk everybody. And we had the Jalen Ramsey here in Jacksonville that called every quarterback trash. And that's just not me. I love Justin. I love how Justin proves it on the field, but he's also honest. And when you see him in press conferences, when he does something that he didn't like, or he felt he made a mistake, he's that first one to say, you know, like, that's on me. I've got to fix that. This is what I've got to do. And coach, that brings me to on Sunday during the game, I had messaged you because I sent a screenshot of his stats for that game. And I was like, he's just so good. And your reply back was like, yeah, he is, but he's going to be angry at himself after that pick six. And I've seen that
he's
from
very
Justin.
Hard on himself.
Yeah. And that's,
he's
I've seen
very, very hard on himself.
I've seen it on the sideline, him, you know, sitting on the bench after he throws a pick or if he makes a mistake or whatever. But what I have not seen is him ever let that affect the rest of his game.
No, he's pretty good at turning it off and moving on, which is hard to get high school kids to do. And he was always good at that. You know, he'd come off if he rarely made a mistake, but if he did, he'd come off. He already could tell you what he did. And, you know, he's good at letting it move on. I think, again, that has to go back to his dad. It's like, you got to move on when you make a mistake. But, yeah, he would often, you know, want to take responsibility. Like, we got beat one time, 45-43, and he's, like, standing up in front of the team. He goes, this one's on me. Because he had a strip fumble for a touchdown or something. And I said, well, Justin, I appreciate you wanting to do that in front of the whole team. I go, but you didn't give up 43 points. So,
yeah.
You know, so he's...
And that's where we've been recently, allowing teams to average 38 points, and he still puts it on him.
Yeah, he will, and that's just part of his character, and he probably feels that he needs to carry, you know, everybody, but I was, you know, that point that day, I made it clear that it takes a team to win and lose a game.
Yeah,
you know, one individual can make some big changes like he did in the game, but it takes the whole team. You know, they always say, well, the kicker lost the game. Well, no, the kicker's, in my philosophy, is always put and given a chance to win the game because we were unable to do what we needed to do, you know, maybe offensively or defensively. You know, I guess unless you're talking about extra points. But, I mean, field goals, to me, the kicker's given a chance to win the game. He doesn't lose the game for you because we didn't do what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
you know,
funny.
The way I look at it.
It's funny. I don't know if you saw in the press conference after the game, he was saying he promises to never throw a pick six like that ever again. And I'm okay if he promises or if he never throws a pick six again. I don't know how realistic that's going to be. But, hey, Justin, like, yeah. Go for it, man. I'm okay with it.
I saw that, too, and I'm like, okay, Justin. That might be you will try not to do that, but you know.
Yeah, he's
better hope somebody doesn't deflect the ball because it can happen on a deflection.
Yeah.
He's saying he's not gonna throw it directly to the guy.
Yeah. Yes. Which and I know Justin's the type of person who will do all he can to avoid that because I wanna say 4 or 5 weeks ago, I have one more for you, Coach, before we let you go, but 4 or 5 weeks ago he made a comment, I think it was after Washington, and he was like, We keep being close. I'm done with being close. I'm done with being almost there. And since then, Justin Fields has just turned on the Jets and has been one of the most accurate passers in the league, has scored the 13 touchdowns within those games, 8 of them passing touchdowns, in addition to all of the rushing yards. So it's great. But that brings it all together with this final question on his leadership, because obviously, this kid's 23 years old, and he's walked into this NFL locker room, and it was almost a 65% turnover on the Bears roster from last year to this year. And so it was almost a whole new squad that he was kind of taking over and bringing into his arms. And not only has he put them on his back many times, but just the leadership side of them. Is that who Justin Fields has been since high school?
Yes, and it got better every year. One of the biggest things he did his senior year, when he broke his finger again. I've coached a billion quarterbacks in these 30 some years, and he was the only one that broke a finger, and he broke
twice,
10th grade and senior year. And I thought we could have, gone pretty far his senior year. We went to the third round, without him. But, he is always, always just stepped up. And I think because of the way he plays and how hard he works, people just want to, they get, pulled in. And they say, wow, this guy's a leader. He's humble, but yet he works hard. But when he broke his finger his senior year, the greatest thing he did is he walked up behind our backup quarterback, Gavin Hall. He sat there and went through the reads with him after he'd throw the ball. And he talked to him after every play, which probably helped us win. I think Gavin went on to win because Justin missed the ninth game, the 10th game, and the three playoff games. So Justin really helped get Gavin to calm down, see what we were doing, to just put all the little details in there. So, and also we had a new receiver. I remember the beginning of the year of his senior year, he would go over there every play and talk to him. So it was great. His leadership was great every year, but it really blossomed, going into his senior year. And I remember talking to Coach Day when I went up there to Ohio State, and he just loved how much of a leader Justin was. He said he's such a leader. So I think that over the time, all this hard work and everything he's done, and I think people are just drawn to him by how hard he works, how competitive he is, and how he doesn't point the finger. He takes the blame on himself, more than anything. So,
well, Coach, I know
great leadership.
I know I am drawn to Justin Fields. He's been just absolutely incredible and so much fun to watch. So I just wanted to say thank you for joining us, honestly, because it's been so fun to get to know him a little bit beyond all of the Georgia to Ohio State and then the draft day drama. So I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about Justin.
Yes, thanks so much for coming on.
And we will talk to you hopefully another time, maybe when he's winning the Super Bowl in a couple years.
Yeah. That's what I say.
I'm more than happy to do another 30 minutes on Justin, so I'm okay with it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Have a good one.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
All right, well, thanks to Coach Matt Dickman. That was really fun. You could tell he loves Justin Fields.
Loves to talk about him.
Loves Justin Fields.
Some long-winded answers there.
Yes, which I love it, though. I love the passion, number one. Like I said earlier in the podcast, he got to watch this kid just go from a sophomore, just really starting to get the stride and figure out football, and then breaks his finger, and then comes in the next year and has the year he has, which let me just tell you what Justin Fields did in high school, for those who don't know. For those of you who, I get it, because high school football, most people don't care about unless you're in high school or you are a coach or you work in the industry like we do.
Or
we
you're
talk
like
a little
in some
bit of,
small town in the South where the whole town shuts
in
off
Texas,
on Friday.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But listen to Justin Fields' numbers. So his junior year, sophomore year, he started a little bit, broke his finger, missed the end of the season, missed the playoffs, came back his junior year. Played 12 games. In those 12 games, he had 2,770 passing yards, 23 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And in addition to 1,176 rushing yards and 15 rushing touchdowns.
Like, do they even need a running back out there, too?
It's
like,
just...
he's just so dynamic. That is just... He's
and
great.
It's insane. So his senior year, once again, as Coach mentioned, he broke his finger again his senior year. Unfortunate for Justin. But he played only seven games in 7 games his senior year. Justin Fields also, he mentioned the completion percentage. So he was at, I think it was 66.7 his junior year and 64 completion percent his senior year. But in 7 games, he had 1,417 yards, 18 touchdowns, and just 2 picks. In addition to 920 rushing yards and 13 rushing touchdowns. I mean, it's in his high school career, the guy threw for over 4,000 yards and had, what is the total? 41 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, in addition to over 2,000 rushing yards and another 28 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, like, and this is to say, too, like, the school he went to, it is not, like, some prospect factory. Like, it's not an IMG where, like, you get kids from all over the country coming to play there and stuff. It is essentially, like, a very regular high school, from what I understand.
And the coach mentioned he didn't have, like, top-tier talent that he was doing this with. It's not, like, Georgia in general has a lot of athletes and they push out a lot of people, but it definitely wasn't the school that, like, people go, like, oh, I'm moving to this city to go to.
He wasn't playing
Mac
with other notable recruits. I mean, there might have been some. I don't know the exact roster buildup, but, like, as far as I'm aware, like, there was not any other 5 stars on that offense, at least. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's just incredible. So this goes back to high school. This kid was doing this. And then really quick on the college numbers, because you just look and you're like, it's the same. So he did play in 12 games at Georgia. Like I said, I think it was a lot of end of the game. They throw him in certain moments, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he only had 39 attempts. In the 39 attempts, he completed 69% of his passes for 328 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I'm also pretty sure most of those came in one game, like all those attempts.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think so too. Because I want to say, like, one game he had, like, I don't remember. I can't remember. It was like a large number of those attempts. But then, so he goes to Ohio State in 2019. As a sophomore at Ohio State, he played in 14 games. He completed 67% of his passes for 3,273 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
That was the 2 picks, right? Or 3 picks, yeah.
Yeah, 3 interceptions, 41 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, in addition to 484 rushing yards and another 10 rushing touchdowns. Yeah. So 53 total touchdowns and 3 interceptions he did in his sophomore at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Junior year at Ohio State, only played 8 games. But he completed 70% of his passes for 2,100 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 6 picks, in addition to another 333 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. So, I mean, it's just like one thing after another with him. And the coach very clearly also mentioned, and this is what I liked about this interview, because when I mentioned about the people criticizing him for the throwing side of things right now. And I love how the coach said, number one, the talent around you makes you who you are. And you can't, this is so true, because I think automatically people think that, like, well, the great quarterbacks make the weapons around them better. I do think in a certain light that has Justin Fields made Dante Pettis look better certain times of this year? I think so. There's catches that you were like, wow, that was a really good catch. Was it probably because Justin Fields is making things happen and scrambling and getting out of sacks and making plays that probably should have ended 15 seconds before? Yeah. But another thing he said is also healthy weapons. And that's an important aspect, I think, of a lot of things. The Bears have been beat up since camp, to be honest with you. I mean, we've lost N'Keal Harry right away. You lost Byron Pringle right away. Now Khalil Herbert's hurt. The defense, they got rid of everybody, and they've had injuries. Matt Adams is just getting back. Jalen Johnson's been hurt now.
Tevin's out now.
We're not even talking about the offensive line. They lost Doug Kramer in camp. They lost Dozier or whatever that they got from Minnesota, the other offensive lineman in camp. They lost Cody Whitehair, got hurt.
Schofield's been in and out.
Riley Reiff, I think, got hurt for a little bit. It's just like, those injuries affect everything, because those are who you're practicing with, and then now you're changing the lineup again, or now you're working with a different wide receiver, and things are just fluctuating. In addition to the getting sacked over 30 times, and he made the comment this week, like, his legs hurt. He's like, I get it.
Yeah.
He's been doing everything, and the fact that some people still are like, he's not that good. Like, if you removed, and I said this earlier, if you plucked Justin Fields from this offense right now, we would be scoring maybe 10 points a game, and we wouldn't have a win this season. I can confidently say
that. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, this offense, it is I mean, the first 4 months or first 4 weeks of the season are all you need to watch. It was painful to watch.
Yeah.
My eyes were bleeding watching them try and run the ball or throw passes in. Things have just, it's changed dramatically. The offense is exciting. It's fun. We're doing cool things. And like, once we actually get real weapons in there, I'm so excited for what we can do, because there is not a single person on this team that's a Justin Jefferson or a Jamar Chase or AJ Brown or whoever elite receiver you want to put in there. So,
well, and that's what I was about to say. That's what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about these guys. You can say, what happened when Tyreek Hill went to Miami? Tua, Miami look very good. What happened when the Eagles got AJ Brown? Jalen Hurts and the Eagles look really good. What happened when Buffalo Bills got Stephon Diggs? Josh Allen and the Bills look really good.
What happened when the Bengals drafted Joe Burrow's favorite receiver out of college?
Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl. What happened when Aaron Rodgers lost Davante Adams?
They
lost five straight games.
Yeah.
Like, how much these receivers really help, and you can say everything you want about the quarterback, and quarterback is obviously a huge part of everything, because we've had years where we have had no quarterback and we've had weapons and it's been really frustrating, but it is a combination. There's a reason that there's 22 guys on the field at one time.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's something else that people talk about too a lot is, like, look at the last three Super Bowl winners. The Rams had Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
The Bucks had
Chris Godwin
and Mike Evans.
And Gronkowski.
And Gronkowski. The Chiefs had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Like, there's gone this narrative out there that, like, paying an elite receiver isn't necessarily the right move because, like, you got to have the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an elite receiver and the quarterback, you're going to be pretty damn good. And so, like, getting guys who can catch the ball is so important for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I get so frustrated when people we work with here at 1010XL who are paid to go on the radio and talk about sports come in here and tell me that, like, congrats on finding your running back.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, come on, dude. Like, come on.
And I get it with, like, we're talking about one of the guys we work with, Jeff Prosser, who I get, they love Trevor Lawrence here, and that is fine. You can love Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence has been playing good football. Great football? No. His numbers for a second-year quarterback are nowhere near what Lamar Jackson's were his second year. They were nowhere near what Josh Allen, I think Josh Allen took about 3 years, so that one is probably a little more, but I know for a fact it wasn't like Lamar Jackson level numbers. There's a few quarterbacks that in their second year, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence doesn't have those numbers. Trevor Lawrence is also improving game to game, but they're also just so different. So I hate comparing that also. And they spent so much money in the offseason, like $170 million or something like that on an offensive line and on offensive weapons and a defensive line, and they're not better than the Bears.
We had the same record.
Yeah,
the exact
not better.
Same record. And they had a first-round pick.
Yeah, yeah, two.
The first overall pick.
The first overall pick, and they traded up to get Devin Lloyd in the first round, so who's literally trash right now.
I think we're just venting a little bit of our Jags frustration here.
Because we have to hear this all the time. Yeah. But it is frustrating because also these people say in the morning, Google.com, what was the Bears score? Click box score. Oh, Justin Fields only threw for 147 yards. Did you watch the game?
It's like, how can you watch that pass to Cole Kmet like on a dime and be like, this guy can't throw the ball.
Ugh.
He's not like, it's not like Mac Jones out there or like any like Kenny Pickett even like that guy. Like, he's got an arm on him, but like he'll just throw it like all the way. He'll try to throw it to the right hash and throw it to the left.
Yeah,
like he's that inaccurate with some people.
Yeah,
and Justin's got such natural talent when it comes to throwing the ball. That I just don't like. It's not like you have to plan not to throw the ball. Like, there are guys like Lamar Jackson to where, like, I think he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
I don't think he's elite at it.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever be elite at it, but I think you can plan around that.
Yeah.
I think Justin can be an elite passer and an elite runner, which is why I'm so excited about him as a quarterback.
Yeah. And that's what the Coach Dickman said. He was like, it's really hard to find people who are good at passing and good at throwing. And Justin Fields is one of those people. So thank you, Coach Dickman, who is an actual football coach and has worked with him and seen him up close and personal and says that he has the ability to do it. There's just obviously things surrounding the Chicago Bears that are making that a little difficult on him right now. And hopefully those things will be fixed this offseason. Let's talk a little bit before we go about the game this weekend. We have the Falcons. The Falcons are not a great football team at all. They have things. They have Kyle Pitts, who they don't use nearly enough. They have Cordarrelle Patterson. They have
Drake London.
I don't know much about their defense, honestly, whatsoever. They're not. Just a little.
I know they traded away one of their better defenders to the Browns this past offseason. So, or not offseason, during the season, actually. So
they've allowed the most passing yards in the league with let me see, make sure, 2,801 passing yards and 15 touchdowns they've allowed through the air. So this is, I feel like, a game that Justin really could have the opportunity to air it out a little bit.
Are they sticking with Mariota for sure this week?
I don't know, honestly. I haven't heard otherwise, but people are shouting
for Ridder.
For Ridder.
Yeah, I mean, like, their offense can be scary with the with the weapons they have, and it really wouldn't shock me if it ends up being a shootout, but, like, at the same time, like, sometimes they just can't score either. So
yeah.
I don't know, really.
Yeah, and so when you look at, like, rushing-wise, obviously the Bears' strong point is the run game, but Khalil Herbert's hurt, so that's going to be a lot on Justin, a lot on Monty, and we'll probably see a lot more, some more Trustin Ebner. I love Montgomery. I'm not saying we're taking a step back, because I think Montgomery, number one, when you look at his yards after catch, he is insane against comparable to almost everybody else other than Derrick Henry in the league right now. And maybe there was one other, Damian Pierce, Derrick Henry.
He's having a great year.
And, yeah. And James and David Montgomery are the ones that are all very comparable. David Montgomery hasn't had the workload that the other two because they've split so much with Khalil and Justin. I made a joke on Twitter when they announced Khalil Herbert. I was like, good thing we have two more running backs in Montgomery and Justin Fields.
The funny thing is, I kind of thought the same thing. Yeah. I was just like, oh, everyone's making this joke, but hey, we're good. We got three of them. Yeah. Now we only got two. But
yeah, and the Falcons, their run defense is middle of the pack. They're not good. They're not bad. But that's why I think it's a good opportunity for Justin. When you're facing a team who has allowed the most passing yards in the league, you've got to take advantage of that.
Something I wanted to say extra quick. I think this is a little bit of extra motivation for Justin too, this game. People forget the Falcons took a tight end.
Yeah.
Over Justin Fields, who is from Georgia.
Yeah.
And had the chance to play for his hometown team. And they're just like, nah, let's get this tight end. Like, come on, dude. And like that probably pissed him the hell off. Like, did you see how mad he looked on draft night?
Oh my god.
So like, this is a game.
Coach Dickman said he was not very happy.
Exactly. And like, that's another thing too that's so funny when he's mentioning that, because like, people are just like, he's so pissed the Bears drafted him. He's like, no, he's pissed he fell to 11 where they could draft him.
He's pissed that because all of a sudden, like, people dropped he had epilepsy and somehow that took away from his quarterback playing ability when he just worked his butt off at Ohio State.
And not to mention, like, he's probably gonna have a ton of family there. Like, this is a game that I think he's gonna play really well in, and he's gonna want to play really well into and show out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be interesting. Like, I just don't have confidence this year that we can really win games.
But like, that doesn't matter.
And
for
not
us
on
right
Justin.
Now.
Like, yeah. Not on Justin Fields. On a lot of other factors. Big time the defense right now, and we still have some injuries going on. Kendall Vildor still hurt. Tevin Jenkins is still hurt. Cole Kmet showed up on the injury report this week. That's not good. Hopefully we see some more Chase Claypool. I feel like week one, I get it. He only practiced a couple days. Week two, you still only had maybe 7 days of practice. But now you've had 2.5 weeks to get Claypool at least a little bit more than what we've seen. So I'd really like to see that. Obviously, we're going to see a whole lot of David Montgomery this weekend. Justin Fields, like I said earlier, made the comment that his legs were hurting because he was – is not a running back for the people out there. And so he's not used to running the amount that he's had to run these last 3 weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that drop down a little this week, not seeing another 140, 170 rushing game. Maybe if it was more 70, 80 yards this week, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot more reasonable for them. I mean, at this point for me, when it comes to wins and losses, I'd prefer losing, if I'm being 100% honest. Mm-hmm. I really do think the draft pick is so important for us. But at the same time, I never want Justin to be the reason we lose.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, let's say we were in the Miami game. If Justin throws a pick there instead of EQ dropping it, then I'm pissed. But he dropped it. He's not a guy that's a future part of the team. I'm okay with it. So if we have a situation where, like, it's pretty similar to the last couple of weeks and Justin plays really well and we just barely lose, like, that's kind of the perfect situation for me.
Yeah.
And, like, I know there are so many Bears fans out there that hear when you say, like, you want the Bears to lose?
How can you
want your favorite team to lose? Well, I'm not short-sighted. This team is more than this weekend. It's the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And, like, I want them to be good.
And I get it sucks. Like, it still hurts every weekend. Yeah. Like, when that score was final and it was 31-30, I literally was like,
I was still cheering for the Bears to win,
like,
too.
I'm not in the games like, don't score. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, but also, I do think some people who maybe don't, like, have to talk about them for a podcast or work in sports or really, like, in-depth follow the Bears don't understand how much the placement of how much you win affects the draft. Like we know all the details of where your draft pick lands when you end the season. Like we're already looking at, like we can look at mock drafts right now.
We could probably assume we're gonna have a top 10 pick.
Yeah, and so we think that way. I get a normal fan not thinking that way. A normal fan doesn't care about the NFL draft. A normal fan cares about the Chicago Bears winning finally.
Yeah, and like I think something else too is like the NFL doesn't like. It seems like every other major sports league at this point has moved to the draft lottery side of picking out their draft order. The NFL is still very much like the worst team picks first, and it just goes down from there.
Yeah,
and that means that every single loss means something. Yeah. And like, yes, obviously, like if it still means something if you're in the NBA, but like you still have a percentage chance of getting the first pick even if you have a decent season.
Yeah,
but for the Bears, it's just
it's
like
not.
All they have to do is lose in order to get a better pick. So,
yeah. So I mean, I think that. We know that. Everybody knows that. And at the end of the year, when you take a breath and you see that we have, whatever, pick 5, pick 6, and you're like, okay, who's going around this time? Oh, we could get so-and-so. And we'll start talking a lot of draft probably within the next month and start mentioning names of who we'd like at that spot or once we start finalizing where that spot could really potentially be because there's a lot of crappy teams in the NFC right now.
Packers.
Yeah. which they play tonight. And they play the Titans tonight, which sucks because I also hate the Titans.
It's going to be
being
just
here, but
offensive, like terrible.
Oh my gosh!
Ugh,
yeah,
terrible. The Thursday night game, so bad.
Yeah, and people are saying this is finally we have a good Thursday night game. I'm like, have you guys watched the Packers
this
year?
None of these teams can score.
And they're like, well, they beat the Cowboys last week, and I'm like, because Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Because Mike McCarthy, and because Aaron Rodgers isn't going to lose 6 straight.
Yeah.
Like we know that. The worst players in the league don't lose 6 straight. Like, that usually does not happen. But anyways, I don't know. It's just not a good matchup. And other people, I guess, see Packers, Titans, and...
They see two playoff teams.
Yeah. Weird to me. Whatever. But anyways, that's Making Monsters. We finally got to talk about our guy, Justin Fields. And it's really fun to watch him right now. And I hope that continues. And I hope that this weekend we just... see more progress and more good things come out and we avoid injuries because that's the main thing that we have to try to start probably thinking about is protecting him also.
Would you, if Justin, I'm trying to hear how I want to phrase this. Would you be mad if they sit him for like the last 2 weeks of the season?
I don't think so. I think that I wouldn't even be mad if, like, at this point, we're 2 weeks into a bye. We have a week 14 bye, which is so late. We have the Falcons who suck. We have the Jets who, like, they're somehow winning games, but they're not a great football team, and Zach Wilson's not great. I wouldn't even be personally mad if we saw some Trevor Siemian mixed in here and there to see let Justin Fields get some rest and not get totally worn out. Like, he just physically told you he's, like, he's sore and he's hurting and he's tired.
I think I'd have to agree with you too. And like, I do think for a lot of Bears fans, especially you and I, this season is Justin the guy season. He has to answer the question for us or at least give us some encouraging signs. And I think he's blown away a lot of the encouraging signs to where it's like, it's pointing towards like, hey, like he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be a lot easier for me to be like, we don't need him to get hit 8 times this game.
Yeah.
Maybe he just sits this week.
Yeah.
Know? So.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to happen, but
yeah,
I'm just
I
saying
don't
if
either.
It
could. And I also wouldn't be mad if we saw him every rest of the game as long as he's not getting hurt, but we have seen the sacks decrease, but we also have teams like Philly and Buffalo coming up that are very good defenses.
And like not to mention like the sacks are decreasing, but like when you're running that much, like you can't always slide.
No.
He's taking those hits.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. He's getting hit a lot. All right, that was Making Monsters, Justin Fields episode. We will talk to you guys next week. I don't know what it's going to look like because next week is Thanksgiving, but we'll figure that out. And we'll be recapping a Atlanta game and previewing the final Justin Fields v 2021 draft quarterbacks when he faces Zach Wilson. If he can beat Zach Wilson, he'll beat all of them so far, other than Trevor Lawrence because he hasn't faced him. So that'll be
we don't plan Thanksgiving this year, right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think we're Saturday.
Yes.
I don't know. We're that weekend, but we'd play Christmas Eve against the Bills. That's going to
be fun.
That's going to be a long day. All right. Well, we will chat with you guys later. And thanks for listening.
See you then.